Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Thank you. Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
I'm camera shy, though. No.
It's too late for that. obviously you're not. But how are you doing? How are you feeling today?
Doing great. Yeah, doing awesome.
We'll obviously get into your elimination, but since the finale aired, I do want your reaction to that with Rhoda winning. And obviously you were involved with the finale. Did you clock her as a competitor early on? Were you shocked by her win? What did you think about her overall journey?
You know what nobody's talking about? Okay. What? She came back from Last Chance Kitchen, right? She was in the bottom, but then she proceeded to take everybody's quickfire cash. Okay. Nobody's talking about that. Right? She's got like 40 grand and she had zero, right? It started with Sherry. That was rough. I ain't gonna lie.
That was rough.
We were all scared. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we were all like one eye open, you know, but she came back. She crushed us on all the quick fires, took all the quick fire cash. Like I always, you know, like how I say it is like she came back and took all of her lunch money. So, but you know, Rhoda is a fierce competitor, you know, and she, I would say out of all the chef testants, she had the most ups and downs, you know. She saw the other side, went to Last Chance Kitchen, saw the real world, came back into the competition and had to readjust. She was on the bottom, you know, with Oscar. And that was, you know, like you win Last Chance Kitchen going against my brother who, like, dude, I knew, like watching that episode of Last Chance Kitchen, my heart was not only like melting, but I could see it in his face, you know, that he was like out for blood in the water, you know. And the funniest part of that episode was when he went to go take like black pepper from her station and Rhoda's like, oh sure, have some black pepper, like, you know. But I know Brandon didn't care. He's just like, I need pepper, boom, and just ran over and grabbed it. But I'm super happy for Rhoda, and you know, she's a fierce competitor. And honestly, like working in the kitchen with her, like I was in the middle. Okay, like it was like Rhoda on this side, Sherry on this side, you know, me and Lawrence, and dude, Sherry's food, I haven't watched the episode, so no spoilers, but Sherry's food was like high level. You know, obviously she leaned into Michelin. Anthony, poor Anthony, I was like the whole time, I'm like, Anthony, blink twice if you're okay. I'm happy to help you. But and Anthony had his head down the entire time working, like didn't miss a beat because Sherry was on his ass. And I felt so bad. But it was a really, really cool experience. And I'm really happy for Rhoda.
Yeah. And I know you were Lawrence's sous chef. You were in the sort of thick of it. Did you, looking back, I'm trying to remember, because I watched the episode, but I'm trying to remember if you also heard the feedback from Lawrence's, the judges to Lawrence, or no? I'm trying to remember.
No, not yet. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, if you during the cook had any, like, agreed with sort of any of the feedback the judges had that you heard about.
Well, I didn't hear any feedback from the judges because we were in the kitchen, and so like whatever is aired, I haven't watched it yet because it just aired last night. I'm a Peacock. I watch it on Peacock. Okay, I don't want to live on somebody else's schedule. I'm like streaming it, you know. So I always tell everybody, don't tell me anything. Let me wait till Tuesday. So I'm watching it tonight with my family.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you that, right? Like, because you lived through the experience and then watching your journey and watching your elimination, like, was it how you remembered it? Like, how was it watching the show back?
Yeah, like, you know, obviously, you know, we film all day and there are so many moments. And I, you know, hats off to the production crew and all the editors, and like, they do a fantastic job. And I am super impressed with the storylines and everything that made it to the final cut. You know, my elimination challenge was like bittersweet because I, you know, learned from the challenge prior with Seeger, like, okay, they're looking for technical flaws at this point in the competition, right? You have to execute at a high level. You cannot make mistakes. And so going into the challenge where we had to plate on a obscure vessel, like this is something that I you know, we did, you know, a concept called Sagrada, which was a culinary journey through the psychedelic mind. And I was in my Sagrada fields. And I was like, you know, not only do I want to use the vessel, but I also want to make the food an experience, you know? So I had this idea, you know, from a chef like in Austria that like he plated like, I don't know, like a moose, like a, I think it was like a deer tartare in the antler. Like he covered it up in the antler and like, showed, you know, scooped it out with a spoon. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. So I kind of took that idea and did it with a pumpkin. And, you know, everybody thought I was crazy, but I felt it, you know, immediately. I was like, once I got the Whole Foods, I was like, pumpkies, I'm doing something with pumpkin. You know, like it was because, you know, as a chef, like I have so many different, there's so many things in my wheelhouse. I know so many different cuisines, but my chef brain is crazy. Like Rhoda, you know, me and Rhoda were in the car together and I'm like, Rhoda, should I do a tostada? Should I do a tartare? Like, what can I with this pedestal thing? She's like, dude, you're doing too much. And I'm like, I know. It's too much. So when I looked at my journal or my my notebook, I had like 8 different ideas for this challenge. But dude, once I saw the pumpkin, I was like, I'm doing brioche and I'm going to put the brioche in the pumpkin. And like, it might everybody might think it's an easy dish because it's just bread. But two things, I got the first course. So I was like, okay, I'm going to lean more towards the first course. And, you know, it's not easy to make brioche on Top Chef. It's not, you know,
we've seen it go wrong
so many times. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone. I would never bake bread, you know, on, you know, in a challenge with the time running. Like, remember everything we prepped in Top Chef kitchen, but then everything has to move over to the kitchen that we're actually finishing the challenge in. And so, to make brioche was ballsy. And I made 3 different doughs for like a fail safe, like, cause there's no pivoting, right? I had no more ingredients. I had nothing. So, you know, and to get a perfect vessel to bake the brioche, make sure it proofs properly, make sure it fits in the pumpkin perfectly. Like that was, you know, but what the best part about that was, is when they were looking at the pumpkin, all the judges, they were looking at the pumpkin and then they take it all off at the same time. And it's like this unveiling and they're like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then the butter's in the pumpkin, you know, shell. And it was just a cool experience for me. And I realized when Gail asked me, hey, how, if you just take the pumpkin off the vessel, it's not really, it's just a pumpkin still, you know? And I'm like, well, I'm like, oh man, I'm cooked. Like, you know, but
you swung for the fences. Listen, there's been many times where like, oh, this is boring. Like you are certainly not boring and you nailed it. Like they didn't really have too much criticism. They have to nitpick at this point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you feel like their criticism was fair or how'd you feel going to judge
the
table?
I mean, I, you know, listen, at the end of the day, like, the judges do a fantastic job of deliberation, you know, and there is so much more conversation that goes on and they really, you know, cause they only see what you put in front of them. They don't see what's going on in the kitchen. They don't see, you know, the back of this, the behind the scenes in the kitchen while we're prepping, you know, Tom pops in for a second or two. During the cook, but that's really it. So they ask questions, we engage. And, I, you know, the fact that they all have to agree who the winner and who the loser is, I think is fantastic, you know, and it's, you know, one of those things where everybody has an opinion, you know, food is very subjective. You know, so, and it's, when it's down to the wire, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And I mean, I think that really showed through in the last, you know, the final, like 4 episodes, you know, when there's 6 of us.
I mean, I have to ask about Seeger because he's getting a little beating online, I feel like, for that. You know, we've seen it in the past. Like, I remember Jen Carroll in the earlier seasons kind of got combative. I had heard or I'd seen that it was worse than we saw. You were there. You were trying to sort of calm the situation. Talk to me about that moment. And did you think Seeger was going too far?
Listen, there was obviously we had a little notebook, right? And that day I journaled about that situation. I don't journal. Okay. I'm not a journaler. Okay. But you know, we have no devices. We have, you know, we're left in our thoughts. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. So, you know, that whole experience was, you know, there was so much going on. Like number one, the paid actor of a snake that was real. And, you know, so that happened and it was like, oh my God, like, this really happened, you know? And then, so, you know, we all were kind of like anticipating, number one, I didn't realize that my dish would be on the bottom, you know? So I was a little bit surprised because my, you know, that dish, I nailed it, you know? And yeah, it was sour corn, understood, get it. It's a sour dish, but that was my intention. So, you know, but I took it on the chin. I'm like, you know, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And what people don't realize, you know, Seeger's reaction was authentic. Okay. It was real. And he's a chef, you know, and him acting that way is not his character. And that's why I was trying to say, like, hey, bro, like, chill, you know,
don't go out, you
know,
like that. Listen,
the way that I would explain it is that, you know, it was back and forth with him and Tom, you know, was very uncomfortable, but honestly, the feedback from the judge, they want the feedback from the chef testants. They want to understand, you know, what's your point of view? You know, what's the lens you're seeing all of this through? And, you know, to have a technically sound dish, Kristen explained it very well. She's like, hey, like when it gets to this many chefs, your dish needs to be technically sound. Otherwise, you're going to be on the chopping block. You know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, they in very extreme detail explained that his dish was not good. And that's what, you know, like Seeger was going on. And, you know, I'm sitting here, like, I was very uncomfortable. I, like, had my head down. Like, my eyes were closed.
Secondhand embarrassment. I was like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, Seeger, just shit, bro, chill. Like, he's so nice. And, like, he's the nicest guy ever, man. Like, I could hang out with him all day, you know? And unfortunately, that one moment really, you know, painted a picture. But that's truly not him. He was just being very combative. And there was it was rough. And it was about 100 yards from the judge's table to the stew. Dude, he was going, man. He was going the whole time.
And I'm like, people could hear him.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And I was like, you know, and it's funny because like when we get back to the stew, you know, I tried to be quiet because I'm like, I don't want to be the guy here. But at the same time, like, you know, I was just like, you know, like Seeger, everything you did for the first 30 seconds was fantastic. You gave feedback, yada yada, but everything after that 30 seconds was like crazy. So it was a fun time.
Was it awkward when he came back as a sous chef, or was everything kind of calmed down by then?
So it's actually funny when we're all cooking in the kitchen. We were in the kitchen for a long time, but when Tom Colicchio walked in the kitchen, I was like this. I was like, oh, I want to see him and Seeger lock eyes. Okay. Like, I want to see it, you know? So I literally stopped what I was doing. And like, Tom goes around and was talking to Rhoda, but looks at Seeger. And like, they do this, like, you know, it was such a manly thing. It was like, Tom looks at him. He's like, are we good? And Seeger's like, yeah. And that was it. And I was like, oh, I was waiting for something. You know, I was like, yeah. I was like, I would love to be, because I couldn't really hear, but you know, I was like, I wish that I was a fly on the wall, you know, like that's what I said on camera. But yeah, it was funny because I was like, oh shoot, Tom's here. Oh shoot, Seeger's over there.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I guess like, I know it's subjective, and Anthony had mentioned in my exit interview with him, like he also thought sometimes the judge's criticism was a little contradictory because like they said his thing was disjointed, but he's like, well, Michelin star dishes. Like, did you ever feel like your dish was not judged fairly?
Yeah, well, judged again, like when you know, there's a difference between my perspective and the judge's perspective. And and that's why they have a guest judge as well, you know, to right. kind of add another layer of judging, you know, somebody from the outside that doesn't know any of the chef testants, and they're here, their sole purpose is to be a guest judge and give their opinion. I would not say that it's unfair, but again, food is subjective. So like even in that rabbit challenge, right? I did not expect to be on the bottom. I put my heart, soul, everything into that dish, you know? And I felt like I showed a high level of technique to do two different versions of the rabbit. Like these rabbits were beautiful, you know? But when I got to the judges, when I found out that I was on the bottom, I was like, damn, like what? Like this was to me, in my mind, it was a rock star dish, right? But yeah. Again, when you get to like less single digit chefs, they're nitpicking things. And they were like saying that my leg was too big. And I'm like, well, that leg was huge. Like it was a big, big rabbit, you know, I could have made it smaller, but you know, that would have took away from the presentation. And, you know, also, you know, like the dish was very well sound. And I know that doing two separate proteins on a plate, they kind of go against each other. And I know that's a wrong way to do it on Top Chef, because usually that's what gets you. It's they're fighting against each other, but it's like I use the entire rabbit. So like the purpose of the rabbit challenge was to use multiple parts and show a little bit of technique. So when I was on the bottom with Anthony, I was like, man, this is crazy. Like I thought my dish was amazing, you know, because you'll hear me say like, okay, so I didn't do an hors d'oeuvre because like Lawrence did a shumai, you know, and like, yep. Not to knock Lawrence, but a shumai is it's dim sum. It's a dumpling. Like we had 3 hours to cook. So I was like, you know, Anthony made, you know, multiple sauces, braised his duck, cooked the tenderloin, like, you know, Seeger did a ballantine with bacon, like, and Rhoda did basically a soup, but like, you know, use the rabbit in multiple ways. Same thing. Sherry's dish was rock star. But, you know, so when I think about it, I'm like, how is Lawrence safe with just making a shumai? You know, that
I
was my
thought because it fell apart. I was surprised.
Yeah.
And he didn't make the rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was just like at that. And, you know, OK, Anthony's dish was, you know, I worked right next to Anthony. Anthony was moving. OK, like he was moving. And like honestly, like I haven't used rabbit since culinary school, you know. So not only was it like an ingredient that, of course, I know how to butcher and cook rabbit, but like I'm talking like 23 years ago is when last time I cooked rabbit. You know, it's just not something that we put on our menus because people think of their pet bunnies, so they don't order it. You know, it's just it's not
exactly. So, I know we have to go pretty soon. I have two quick questions. One is just like experiencing this with your brother. Do you feel like you want to brag to him a little bit? Are you like, what are the conversations been like?
Yo, for the rest of our lives, okay? Like, honestly, I never thought I would make it past Brandon because he's such a talented chef. But we know each other we're the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're the same person, but different. Like we went different ways in our careers, but I know his skill set. I know his weaks. I know his strengths. He's insane. He knows where my wheelhouse is. But when I made it past him and he was eliminated, I was like, oh shoot. All right. Well, now that he's gone, I'm doing this thing, you know, like I never expected. And then I was on the top two challenges in a row. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know? But I definitely have bragging rights for the rest of our lives. And you know what else that, I was really happy when the first episode, when Kristen Kish asked Brandon and I like, who's the better chef. And he raised his hand up like immediately. I'm like, okay, all right, we gonna see, bro. We gonna see. And then I won the first challenge and they caught that little clip where I was walking past with my hush puppy and I was looking at him and I was like, I got y'all, you know, cause I knew everybody's going to do a cold dish, you know, cause you know, that was, I heard everybody going to the coolers. Oh, let's do a, you know, grab raw fish. We're going to do a, you know, I knew everybody's going to do like a ceviche or sashimi or agua chile. Yep. And I was like, no, we're going to go ballsy. We're going to do a hush puppy. And it was Jen's idea. And then we executed on it and we won. And then I was like, I got you on that one, bro.
Yeah. Listen. Well, it's been fun watching you guys. I guess my last question is, do you have another run in you? If Top Chef calls, are you going back?
Absolutely. 1000%. I have to be honest. They were so tired of me talking on camera because when it got down to like only four of us or five of us, actually top six, there's like literally a camera on each chef. And when Sherry and Brandon are very similar in their cooking style, when they start prepping and cooking, they're zeroed in. And that's that Michelin star experience. You know, like you don't veer off, you don't talk, you don't sing songs, you don't do that. You're strict, you know? And none of the chefs would like talk out loud and it was just me. And they would ask
me
questions.
You're the trash talker.
And, yeah. Oh man. I love like kitchen, dude. It's my natural habitat. So I like to have a good time. And like, you know, by the end of it, that everybody's like, yo, Jonathan, shut up, please. Like, just, and I'm like, the producers are talking to me. I got to say something, you know? But I like to like, you know, food is food, you know? And I think, you know, happy chefs cook good food, you know, and, you know, it's, especially when you're on camera, you have to like be a little bit extra, you know? And I am like that in the kitchen normally, you know? So they were just tired of me. They're like, oh, here goes Jonathan again. Especially that time, like, okay, last subject and then I'm done. When I lifted that pan up for Rhoda because they were stuck together. Mm. Dude, the whole time, because she took everybody's lunch money, I was like, Hey, Rhoda, like if you need help rolling your cabbage rolls for the small fee of $10,000 provided by Wells Fargo Quickfire, I was the whole time and she's like, Jonathan, okay, I heard you. Okay, fine. And then she asked me to help with the pan. And that was part of the, oh man, that's why I felt so good.
That's
Cause
at
I'm
least
like,
2 grand.
I was like, I just want 10%. That's it. So yeah, it was a fun time.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.